Amen. What a great night to be in God's house. Why don't we just pray over his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have given to us. We do not take it lightly, what a gift it is to us. And we just pray tonight that you would give us ears to hear what you would want to say. God, you promised that your word would not return void. And so tonight we open our hearts to hear from you, God, that you be glorified, that you be magnified, and that you change our lives by the power of it. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, our title tonight is Anointed for Breaking Through. I'm sure many of you would agree with me, but I was deeply moved this morning by Pastor Ron's message about pastoring your prophecy. And at one point, you know, he really was preaching on the topic that I wanted to share with you tonight. And this word was dropped into my spirit following Pastor Charlie Sweet's ministry. And you know, the Lord has a deep, burning passion to see his church arise in the Word of God, to arise in his Word over our lives. And you know, as I woke the next morning following that service, I was reminded that there are areas that hinder us from walking out his purposes. There are areas, and there are too many people who are not walking out the Word of God for their lives. And we are in desperate need of the power of the Holy Spirit, of his presence, and of his anointing in our lives to grab a hold of that we might break through in these areas and walk in what he has called us to walk in. There are areas in our lives that I want to touch on tonight, both in the natural and the spiritual, that require us to break through in order to obtain victory and abundant living in the Lord. There is an anointing that we are called to walk in, that we may break through situations and achieve his joy and his peace, and fulfill his word. I'd like to encourage us tonight from the life of David and show how his anointing was related to him breaking through in many areas, and specifically the story of David and Goliath has tremendous meaning for us. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it records the story, and it talks how the Philistines gathered their forces for war, and they assembled in Judah. Talks about how King Saul and the Israelites, they assembled their army, and they drew up their battle line to face off these Philistines. And we know the story, it's familiar to us, but a champion, a giant named Goliath, came out of this Philistine camp, and he is described as being a tremendous giant, and in fact is described as being over 9 feet tall. His armor is described in great detail, giving us the picture that he for sure is an enemy that is to be feared. He is an enemy that cannot be defeated, that cannot be taken down. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 to 11, it says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle?" Then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. The story goes on to describe how three of Jesse's sons, they follow King Saul to the war, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. In verses 16 to 33, for 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. And now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them." Early in the morning, David loaded up and set out. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. And David ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. And David asked the men standing near him, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle." What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servants will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." Well, David goes on to tell Saul at this point of the story how he has been killing lions and bears, and that this Philistine would be like one of those, for surely God would deliver this enemy into his hands. Verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Let's read a few more verses, starting at verse 40. "Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with a shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. David said to the Philistine, 'You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands.' As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him." We are told in this story and through the life of David that he was a mighty warrior of God, and he killed thousands upon thousands of enemies during his life. And the reason he was successful in the battles that he faced was because he was anointed by the Lord. Number one tonight is a holy anointing. Before this account of Goliath, we read of the first time the Lord anointed David. We heard it this morning in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." Do you know, after David was anointed, he entered the service of King Saul. And the first job David was given was to minister to Saul, who was being tormented in his mind and in his spirit. One of Saul's servants suggested that David come and play his harp, knowing that he was anointed, knowing that he was this great man, this great warrior of God. The servant describes David as being a brave man, as one who worships with excellence, one whom the Lord's presence is surely with him. In verse 23, "Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him." David came to King Saul, and he entered his service as an armor bearer, and he often played worship on his instrument to bring a release from darkness, to bring comfort, to bring peace to Saul. David was anointed by the Lord for the purpose of breaking through. He was anointed to be a warrior who fought many battles in the natural, and he slayed and killed thousands upon thousands of enemies. But he also was anointed to break the spiritual powers of darkness as well, through his praise and his worship, through his dedication and his deep passion for his Lord. David's anointing came directly from the Lord. And his life is a testimony to us of how this anointing brought tremendous victory and breakthrough. And in the story of David and Goliath, we read in verses 16 and 24, "For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. And whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear." 40 days, this giant enemy would face the Israelites, and every time they saw him, every time they heard him open up his mouth and defy their God, They did not take their stand, but instead they turned around. They allowed their fear to overwhelm them. They fled the battle, and it took David, it took an anointed man of God to come and fight this enemy, to defeat this enemy for them. It is interesting to note that Jesus himself spent 40 days in the wilderness fighting natural and spiritual enemies. And once he defeated Satan, Jesus was led out of the wilderness with a greater anointing upon him to minister to the people that God placed in his path. 40 days the Israelites faced their enemy, and it took one who was anointed to defeat this enemy. 40 days Jesus faced his enemies, and because he was anointed, he defeated his enemies. There is encouragement, and there is a call to us in these verses. We are told in Scripture that as the children of God, we each have received a holy anointing from the Lord. We each have received a covering of the Holy Spirit's presence and power to defeat the enemies in our lives. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." You see, you do not need to wait for a David to come and fight your battles. If you walk closely with the Lord, if you have a deep love and a trust in him, if you seek after him with fasting prayers, you too have been given a holy anointing to fight your enemies, to live out the word of God that has come upon your life. The call upon each one of us is that we live anointed, that we live as those who are able to break through any barriers, any battles that come into our lives, that we fulfill the word of the Lord that has been given to us. There is an anointing that Jesus talked about with his disciples. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he promises this gift of his Holy Spirit because he knew that there would be battles. He knew there would be barriers. He knew there would be times where we would need his presence and his power to break through these situations. What did he tell his disciples regarding the purpose of this anointing? What was the purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to us? He said that he would send his Holy Spirit to be as our comforter, to be our help, to be our guide, to be our peace, to minister the very presence of Jesus Christ to us in our lives. And church, this is the anointing that we contend for. Whether your battle rages for 40 days, whether it rages for 40 minutes or 40 seconds, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living within you to defeat every enemy in the natural and the spiritual. If you desire to experience spiritual victory, how many would say it's time for the church to advance? It's time for the families to unite and to advance in the name of Jesus. We have the ability to receive this holy anointing, to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Number two, recognize the ungodly interruptions and keep advancing. When David approached the battlefield, he went to greet his brothers. And what did his brothers do? They did not greet him with a holy kiss. They did not say, "Welcome, brother, we're so glad to see you." No, instead, they looked at him and said, "What are you doing here? We know that your motives are impure. We know that you are conceited." They tried to stir up dissension. They were jealous of David. They tried to stir up fear within David. They tried to cause him to turn away from the battle, to take his eyes off of what God had called him to do. In our lives, as we seek to advance the word of the Lord, as we seek to advance the purposes of God, there will be ungodly interruptions, and we must recognize them for what they are. When Jesus came out of the wilderness with a fresh anointing upon him, he had a purpose. He had a single-minded focus to do the will of his Father. Yet he himself encountered some interruptions in his journey, didn't he? Some of these interruptions in Jesus' ministry, they were natural, and some were spiritual. In the midst of his ministry, he encountered people who were self-righteous, who were self-seeking, who question the priorities of Jesus and the focus and how he spent his time. They questioned him constantly. They doubted. They had little faith. They had their own ideas of how Jesus should be ministering. These conflicts that Jesus encountered, they were ungodly. They did not line up with God's plan of trying to reach out to the broken and to the lonely, to the hurting and to the lost. And Jesus recognized these conflicts as coming from people who were walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. He continued to advance. He continued to break through in people's lives with a godly love, with compassion, with forgiveness, and with the Spirit of the Lord upon his life. When David encountered the conflict from his brothers, he could have easily ran away from the battle. Instead, he chose to listen to the Lord, and he faced that giant. In 1 John chapter 2, 20, where it tells us that we have received a holy anointing, the verses prior to this promise, they describe the ungodly interruptions that can hinder this anointing in our lives. The verses prior to this, they speak of love and hatred for fellow believers. They speak about how loving God means obeying his commands to love and honor one another. And then in verses 15 to 17, it gives us clear instruction on further ungodly interruptions that can occur in our lives in the natural. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." The three main areas of ungodliness that seek to interrupt our spiritual advancement is lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh is also referred to as luxury. We can enjoy luxury, but it must not rule our lives or take priority over a focus of the kingdom of God. Lust of the eyes. This refers to covetousness, always wanting what we do not have, never being satisfied or content in what the Lord has already given to us. And the third area is the pride of life, which refers to a self-seeking, the need for self-importance. And we know, church, that the Word of God admonishes us that pride is a dangerous interruption to moving forward in God's ways. It does not allow for reconciliation in relationships when conflicts occur. There are spiritual enemies as well that seek to interrupt our spiritual advancement, aren't there? Satan plants lies and doubts, discouragement, fear within us, temptations to run away from the battlefield instead of trusting in God's victory. I want to share a personal illustration with you regarding the truth of this point. My mom, whom I love dearly, has given me permission to share this, and I'm thankful for her willingness to be vulnerable with us tonight, because I know that there are many in this house who can relate to the tactics of the enemy in your life in the same manner. But she recently had a dream that disturbed her and that awakened her to the enemy's tactics in her life. And prior to this dream, she had been sensing a stirring in her heart to draw closer to the Lord, to study a little bit more, to read her Bible a little bit more, to go deeper in God. And as she began to respond to this stirring and this urgency in her heart, she started to read a couple of spiritual growth books written by a very highly respected and well-known Christian author. And as she was reading these books, this author began to share some of her own personal stories in her life of heartache and pain and loss and disappointment. And as she began to read about these personal illustrations, memories from her own life began to surface. How many have ever experienced that before? Memories began to surface of her own loss and her own pain and heartache, victories that she had won They began to surface again in her mind. And one night during this time, she had this dream. And in this dream, she was having an argument with me. And I need to tell you this on the side, that my mom and I never argue. It's true. We never disagree even over the smallest of things. So for her to be having an argument in her dream with me, it was a big deal. And as we were arguing, somewhere in the background, she began to hear the ringing of a phone. This phone started to ring, and in her dream, she picks it up, and as clear as a bell, on the other side of that connection, there was a voice that said very strongly and very clearly to her, "This is Satan calling." My mom immediately woke up and was awakened to the enemy's tactics in her life. And I'm sure that we can all understand this, and we probably can relate to this at some points in our lives. But the Lord is calling to us to recognize any ungodly interruptions that would try to hinder our spiritual advancement in His Word over our lives. You see, do not let the argument separate you. Do not let interruptions keep you from advancing in the Lord's purposes. We have received a holy anointing, and our anointing, it calls us to recognize these interruptions for what they are, a tactic of the enemy to keep the church silent, to keep our prayers silent. And God says, be awakened to this. Move past these ungodly interruptions. Hang up on Satan when he calls your name. You see, the truth is that your giant tonight, your Goliath, is only as tall as you perceive him to be. He is only as strong as you allow him to be. He is only as powerful as you give him reign to be in your life. Satan is seeking control, and your flesh is seeking control. But by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we have his strength to defeat every enemy that would try to keep us silent, that would try to keep us from obeying every word of this book. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to push back the powers of darkness and to defeat the enemies. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. You see, David obeyed the Lord and he kept moving. He moved past those ungodly interruptions. Jesus obeyed his Father and he kept ministering. And we need to arise in his holy anointing and allow his Holy Spirit to reconcile within us, to keep us soft before him, to cause us to act in a godly manner in all natural conflicts and spiritual battles. You see, there will be conflict. But the challenge for us and the call for us is that in the midst of these conflicts, that we do not allow our response to turn into an ungodly interruption. And number three tonight, the final thing, is advance across the battle line with praise. After David disobeyed his brothers and decided to fight Goliath, it says he ran towards the battle line, knowing who it was that was his commander. Verses 45 to 46, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." Can you say that about your battle tonight? This day the Lord will deliver my enemy into my hands. It says that David ran toward the battle line and he struck this giant. With the first blow, he killed him. He came against his enemy in the name of the Lord, giving praise to the Lord. Many other instances in David's life, aren't there, that we read about in the pages of the Bible, where he praised the Lord on his harp and with song, and every enemy fell. This aspect of the importance and the power of our praise, it really could be weaved into every message that we ever preach. The outward expressions of our praise, if you hear nothing else, please hear this tonight. The outward expressions of our praise, they cause the hand of God to move. They cause God to strike the powers of the enemy, and he defeats. He goes before us and he defeats our enemies. When we are in need of a breaking through, the first thing, the only thing that we ought to do is to sing and to shout unto the Lord. We must clap our hands. We must strike the powers of darkness. Our victory is on the other side of our praise. This is what the word teaches us. And I love this story, if you can bear with me for a moment longer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that speaks to this principle. It says that the Moabites, the Ammonites, they came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord in the midst of this battle. Starting at verse 6, Lord, are you not the God who is in heaven? Power and might are in your hands, and no one can withstand you. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And he said, listen, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. In verse 17, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and they were defeated. And church, God says that to us tonight. He says, take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give to you if you will praise him in all situations, even when it doesn't make sense. He will set ambushes against your enemies, and they will be defeated in the name of the Lord. May our faith arise tonight in the word of God. May our hearts say, yes, Lord, I will praise you, for the right hand of the Lord still does valiantly in the name of Jesus. Our God is still on the throne, and he is still the commander of this army. Oh, we praise him tonight, and we're so thankful for him. Hallelujah. As we close tonight, I would just like to ask each of us, are there battles that are keeping you from invoking the Holy Spirit in your life? Are there battles that are keeping you from opening this book and living out the power and the truth of the Word of God for your life? The Israelites, they ran away every single day when they saw that enemy. And it took an anointed one to come and defeat that giant. Jesus, as he was being taunted for 40 days in the wilderness, he didn't need someone else to win the battle for him because he knew the weapons he had at his disposal. And while there are moments, hear what I'm saying, there are moments when we need people to pray for us. We need people to come alongside of us and lift our hands in prayer and to contend with us. There are moments when we need this. We must not forget that we are anointed individually with the name of the Lord and with the word of God. And your battle tonight, it might be fear. It might be doubt in the words that you read or in the word that you've received over your life. It might be disunity in relationships, anxiety. Perhaps you don't understand the season that you find yourself in tonight, and you might need to let go of that, of needing to understand. Psalm 78, verse 9, it says, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, they turned back on the day of battle. May we learn from their mistake, because it was a mistake. Ephraim, being armed with bows, they turned away at the day of battle. Satan and our flesh life will try to interrupt our journey to victory. And there are too many people who remain in chains. There are too many Christians, followers of God, who are still fighting the same battle, who are still doubting, who are still fearful. And yet we have the word of God, we have the commander of the armies at our disposal, in front of us, behind us, and all around us. It is time to sow and to reap the spiritual harvest of our lives. Have you felt an urgency, a stirring to move forward in the Lord, to go deeper in your walk with him, to study harder, to pray more often and more passionately. Jesus is calling to us from the pages of this book. He's calling to us from the pages of this book, reminding us that we are armed and we are anointed and we are not to run away from the battle, but we must move past the ungodly interruptions and use our weapons of praise. May we be those who arise and say, we believe in breakthrough. Would you begin to just say that where you are tonight? Close your eyes in your spirit. How loud. Let the inhibitions fall by the wayside in the name of Jesus and say, I believe in breakthrough. As you split the Red Sea and you allowed me to walk through it, I believe in breakthrough. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Nothing can stop him from fighting our battles. The victory is already won in the name of Jesus. I believe in breakthrough. And God, we contend for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We say we want more tonight, God. We want to be changed by your living word tonight in the name of Jesus. Let your church arise in glory and splendor. Let's stand together tonight. 2 Chronicles 20, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. In Psalm 18, verse 3, I call out to the Eternal, who is worthy to be praised. That is how I will be rescued from my enemies. The altars are open tonight. If you need prayer for anything, come. But let's take a few moments and let's praise the Lord. Let's choose praise tonight. Let's choose the weapon of praise tonight. And worship the God who is worthy, the God who is able. And let's say that we believe in breakthrough tonight. Hallelujah, Lord.